Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the For Realza podcast with Amanda and Jessica.
Hey.
So it's been a while to do our little like update on like our life. And I thought it would be good to start on just see, like, just check in, like, what's going on? Like, anything new and exciting in your life right now, Jessica?
Exciting? New? Yeah. So we had the eclipse last week, and I felt the energy way before it even happened. And then, of course, we're in the middle of Mercury retrograde, and so it's been a shit show. Everything's a shit show right now.
Oh my gosh. So anything fun going on then? If your life's been a shit show, is there anything positive in it?
I mean, the positive part is that whenever I have a shit show, I always have an aha discovery moment that follows it or is in the middle of it. And I look forward to that. And that's what I've started to tell myself when I'm in these shit show moments is, okay, but the realization's going to come. It's coming. And that's the good part of this whole thing. So, that's the good part. That's the exciting part. And I want to talk about my aha moment that I had yesterday, if you're okay with that.
Yeah, go ahead. Go for it. Let's
do it. No, but well, let's talk about what's new in your life.
Well, yeah, but you had it on your in your head.
It's fine. We still need to know what's up with you. We haven't heard about you. We didn't even do this whole catch up thing with when we did our podcast with Sarah last week. So
I know. Yeah. I'm trying to think. Nothing. Yeah. The eclipse was crazy and it's been interesting time and it feels like it's getting a little bit better. Like we're on the back end of things, but yeah, it's definitely been a interesting April so far.
Okay. So I have this inner circle of women that live in my town that I have equal access, regular access to, you know, on a weekly basis, if I wanted, to just hang out with and to do things with. And first of all, eclipse energy brought clearing out, right? And I will say that I lost a friend during that clearing out process. Someone that I loved and I cared about and put energy into that is probably gone from my life now. I'm not crying about it. I'm not sad about it because what I have learned is to embrace this movement of in and out and the flow of things. And this person was in my life for about 2 years almost. And there were plenty of good things and good moments, and it's time for her to go. So she's gone and that's it. And this has happened to me so many times that I now respect it for what it is. And I let it go and it just, and then the next person's going to come in and it's, you know, I mean, I'm spending a lot of time with Sarah lately. She's maybe a new person that's coming in. Right. And then that's what, you know, that's just the flow of things. So that's like a negative, but
yeah, it's good to talk about though, because I think it's important as women to remember that this happens and everybody's just got different agendas and opinions and directions they're going in life. And it's hard to not take it personal when that happens or like to get caught up in it. But it's good to have that like perspective of like, okay, this sucks and I didn't see this coming or I didn't really want this to happen, but at the same time I get it and it probably needs to happen. And then, yeah. And then it's okay to like have like, you know, emotions about it and frustration and anger or whatever you need to feel, but it's a part, it's like you said, it's definitely a part of life and a part of, I don't know, especially being a woman, men don't have this changeover of relationship as often as women do.
No, they don't. Men are much different than we are. But it really got me, the experience got me thinking, yes, there was some hurtful parts of it that didn't need to happen, right? And the hurtful parts where I was torn down at a level that I didn't need to be torn down, that wasn't even necessary. And it was behind my back. So I'm not even supposed to know what happened there and what was said about me. But I do. And what it taught me and what it got me thinking about is how much we as women are pitted against each other. And I think we've talked about this in the past when we've had topics about feminine and the feminine. But I mean, it was just another affirmation that we literally grow up thinking that we're all in competition with each other and that we have to one up each other, be better than the other, and that that means something regarding our self-worth, right? And that if you're better than another woman, if you have whatever physical attributes, spiritual, whatever, you know, ascension, you're better. And that's not really ever what it's been about. It's not about that. It's about tribal, community. And I can know I keep using those words, but they just keep coming to me. And if one person has a skill set or a, you know, something that's beneficial, then sharing it with the tribal community is the purpose. It's not to showcase your feature and announce to the world how much better you are. It's not for the purpose of playing competition and trying to pit people up against each other. It's about, okay, you've got this skill set, bring it in. Let's utilize it and let's teach other women how to do whatever it is you know how to do. And then of course there's just the features that make us each unique, right? But then we're always, it's not just, you're not on an island. You're not just unique because you know this or you have this skill set and everybody come to me and pay me and I'll give you, you know, this sacred knowledge that I have. It's no, now you take it and you bring it and you find a community that needs that and you contribute to the rest of whatever else is going on in that community to share it. I mean, why? Why would you do this and not share it? And that brings me to the next step, which is, this is my thought process. Yesterday, I had this crazy aha moment. And of course, I have like a solid 5-6 women that I consult with because I'm a generator and I have to send out my concepts to all these women that I trust that are, they're my sacred muses, I should say. And I send these concepts out to them and they all come back with different things. And then I take a little bit of everything and I put it together and that's what I'm looking for. And so I did that yesterday morning. It was probably way too early for all of my muses, including you. And I sent it out there and it was a lot. But I had to put it out there because when stuff flows in my head and ideas come in, I have to either write it down or I send it out to my friends so that I can hear the feedback and I can hear if this resonates with them at all. And every single one of my muses came back and were like, yep, I'm experiencing that. Yep, that makes sense to me. I understand it. And so it started because I was on Instagram and I was watching a woman she just started to define the difference between feminine and masculine. But she wasn't doing it for informational purposes necessarily. She was doing it to peddle her product, to sell her product. And her product is a coaching product. And she's charging $1,000 a month. And for 3 months, it's a 3-month coaching program. And she's only allowing 15 women in to join this. You guys can do the math. It's a lot of damn money. And she's claiming to coach these 15 women into finding their feminine, finding their selves again. And as appealing as it seemed at the time, because I really value this woman and I've been watching her and she's a lot of really great, interesting things to say. It kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And the one point she made that was really, really valuable and it really got my wheels turning was the fact that the feminine and the masculine, one of the two differences is the feminine is a creator energy and the masculine is like a doer energy. Just do it. They just do it. And the women create. And so I first introduced it to my husband and he's like, absolutely. I will build you a house. I will build it. And there will be no emotion, no energy tied to it except the builder energy. And you will come in and you will create a home. That's the difference between you and I. And it was brilliant, right? But then she just isn't strictly to peddle her product. She just wants to capitalize on the concept that there are so many women out here in this world right now who know the same feeling that we had when we first started our our podcast, there's something more. There's got to be something more, right? That thought process. And she knows that we know this, but we don't know what it is. And she claims to be able to help us find what that something more is. And so I feel like the capitalization of that is a masculine trait, whereas just taking that information and sharing it for free is a feminine trait. And so while I'm not, you know, people have to pay their bills. They have to, you know, we live in a masculine centered society where everything's centers around money, and, you know, money is the most valuable thing in our society. And therefore we got to make money. Right. And so I get it. And I'm not chiding her for doing what she can to survive in this masculine based society. And she's still helping women, learn whatever it, hopefully, I don't know. I'm not paying $1,000 a month to figure it out. So hopefully she is helping these 15 women in the world. But yeah, so it just really got me thinking about more deeply about the difference between, the feminine and the masculine.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, I've seen lots of that stuff, those programs and those coaching things, and I'm the same. And I also tried to do them myself, and I always struggled with that, the concept of just wanting to help and pay. And so I get both sides, because when you do and make those programs, there's way more time and energy that you put into it than people realize, with all the video content or whatever you're doing and creating. And so you spend hours a day investing energy and ideas, and it's a job. It's not any different than any other job. So I get that she needs to be paid for that, but I do struggle with the same concept of it. But I don't know what the solution is to that. I don't know. Like you said, it's like we've created this. Like we don't no longer trade for services, or like, you know, when people used to like trade eggs for flour or whatever, when people used to trade things, or like, you know, like I'm really good at, you know, making blankets, but you're really good at doing this, so then let's trade or whatever. And yeah, it's just not that way anymore. So
well, I have to share with you that I had that experience for the first time at the beginning of this year, because one of my muse's sisters is really good at building websites, but she's a single mom. She's not making a business out of it, but she has that skill set, right? So she also found herself in the beginning of the year in a situation where she needed some divorce coaching. She's not married, but she's having some issues in the divorce court realm, and needed some coaching. So we traded. She's building my website and I'm coaching her through this family law situation that she's in right now. And that was the first time I ever bartered or traded services for services instead of exchanging money. And it feels amazing, because neither one of us keeps track of how much time we are spending on it. And we're doing it because we care. I want her to get through her situation, and she wants me to flourish in my business. And it's that's the concept behind it. It's not you owe me this money and I need this money and you need this service, and we're not dependent on each other, codependent in a weird, uncomfortable way, but we are sharing each other's skill sets in a cooperative and a collaborative way. And that is, it feels beautiful. And I have another friend who, she is doing a very valuable service for the community. And she's told me, I struggle with invoicing. I struggle with sending people bills. If they don't pay their bill, when I emit the service to them, it's a therapy service. I am really uncomfortable, and I get really behind on invoicing because I don't want to do it. I don't like it. And that's because it's not a feminine trait, and she's a woman. It's a masculine trait, and it's a woman stuck in this masculine based world where money is everything. She's not comfortable with it. And so I think that I think that's just a really interesting feature to expand on, you know, but
because it is an uncomfortable feeling for, as women to, or at least for me, in my experience, I don't know about the majority of the women, but I do think we don't feel comfortable, or a lot of us don't feel comfortable with, you know, the financial part of things. A lot of times, and this isn't true to a lot as much today, because a lot of women take over finances, but in the past, it typically was a male thing that men did. And men handled that. And so, yeah, I think it's a newer thing that women are dealing with, newer concepts in these last few generations of like, okay, I'll handle the money now, or I'll take care of the bills, and I'll make these choices, or I'll invoice people. And it doesn't feel natural. It's always kind of we do it and then we get more comfortable with it at some level, but it doesn't feel as intuitive as other things in my life. That's for sure.
Right. Right. And so then when I started thinking about this Instagram influencer's creation definition of the feminine, and I started to realize that I've been feeling called to the feminine and to more of a feminine side of things in my life. Starting last year at this time, because last year at this time I started that Shiva's natural wellness business, and it's basically a wellness company where we create all natural ingredients for the healthiness of our lives, right? And I dove right into that. I mean, you know, you've seen it firsthand when you've come to my house. I've got all the tinctures, all the natural house cleaning products. I've got when you came to visit, we were making body butters and soaps, and I've made candles with my friends, and we were making ornaments, and I've made Christmas ornaments and Christmas decorations out of all natural products over the holiday season. All of these things I've been called to do, not just because it's creative side, which is also known as the feminine side, but because it's that maker and that creation energy that's running through me right now. And one of my other friends brought up a really good, really good point about the difference regarding fitness, because fitness has always been a part of my life since I was like 22 years old when I gained 80 pounds having Abby. And I was like, okay, now I got to figure out how to get rid of this. but ever since I started the fitness, like introduced fitness into my life, I have always just gone to what feels right at the time. So I'm not sticking to the same regimen for 20 years, right? I started out with Tai Bo, and then I moved on to running, and then I moved on to, you know, triathlons, and I taught myself to swim when I was 30 years old because I didn't know how to. Just that kind of stuff that, like, everything that felt right. I started CrossFit. I did the CrossFit phase two different times in my life. And then now I'm in that yoga phase and that gentle phase, you know, the gentle fitness phase. But one of my muses that I was talking to yesterday, she made a really great point on this whole creator versus doer performer energy. So the creator energy, the creation energy being the feminine and the masculine being the performing. She's like, well, cause she happened to also go through CrossFit phases in her life as well. And she's like, well, think about it from that phase where it's like, before we were doing CrossFit and it never resonated long-term because it's a performer fitness. You're performing CrossFit and you have to perform in CrossFit. Whereas when you're doing something more flowy like yoga, it's more of a creation, a creator sort of energy. And this really flowed, like the immediate thought I had was when I did switch over from CrossFit to yoga, I told the world it was because I bulged a disc in my back and I needed to not be so rough on my body. And yeah, that was part of it. But the most reality was that I was being called to more of a creation side, and not the performing aspect of CrossFit did not suit me. It just didn't. And maybe it was fun. Oh, look, I can lift this much weight, but it didn't resonate with my soul. Right. So then I went to the yoga studio, and I've been, you know, I was trying to explain to one of my favorite instructors when I left that yoga studio why it is I left. And I was trying to explain to her, and she didn't understand what I was saying, but I was telling her that it just felt like it didn't feel authentic in the class anymore. Like everybody was putting on a show for themselves and for everyone else. And it was like this, almost like this competition in the class during the class. And it didn't feel right anymore. And so I had to go. I'd been there for a year and a half. I went to Costa Rica, and it just, nothing was resonating with me. And I couldn't put it into words until my friend mentioned the CrossFit comparison. And it was like, yes, in this particular studio, in this particular class, the one that I wanted to take, that I liked to enjoy, that I enjoyed the whole time, everyone was performing. It was all a performance. There was tons of masculine energy in that room. And that was what wasn't resonating with me anymore. So that, I think that that really drove home, those concepts and that thought process really drove home where I'm being called to go versus what is still sitting there in society that is not, it's not working. It doesn't work for me anymore anyway.
Yeah. And the competition thing is definitely a motivator for men, because they do like to compete with each other, and they do like to like one up each other. It motivates them to go to the next level in a positive way for them, because it like pushes them to try harder. Like, oh, he lifted that amount, now I want to do that. It's like this competitive thing that men have that has always been there. And then, yeah, we've tried to apply it to women, and then women, instead of pushing it to the next level, it actually brings them down, because there's this comparison thing that women bring in. And then they say, well, then I'm not good enough, because that person's able to do more than me in the yoga studio than I can, or they can do that move and I can't, or in CrossFit there, that girl was able to do that. And it, instead of like making you like more competitive and like, I want to do that, which it does a little bit, there's still like this, like inside of you, and I don't care who it is, I guarantee almost every woman feels this way. There's a side of you that there's this negative self-talk that comes in. That's like, I can't believe I can't do that. And she can, like, what's wrong with me that I can't get to that level? And she was able to do that. And then it doesn't bring you up. It actually tears you down. And so then you have to get to this place where, yeah, you find the right thing where it doesn't bring up those, because exercise is not supposed to be about that. It's a you against yourself thing. It's you improving yourself and you getting to the next level. And it doesn't matter about the person next to you. It's really like your own personal journey and self-growth and pushing yourself to the next level that you're able to do. And we're all on different paths. We're all on different timelines. And like you said, like when we have a baby, that slows us down. You can't compare a woman that just had a baby to a woman that has been working out and finished having babies 5 years ago. And another thing that men don't go through is all that. And the hormones also, like every month we have our cycle and we don't feel as good some weeks or days. And like that slows us down and impacts our ability to perform. You know, it's proven, it's been shown that like we don't perform as well on certain days of the month compared to other days, or everything fluctuates and changes with our body, or we have hormone imbalances at times. And so, and I'm not saying that men don't, but they don't, definitely don't to the level that we do. And all that impacts our ability to perform and do well. And then when we're not doing the best, then that comparison comes in and then we feel like shit about ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly right. And that feeds, so that keeping us in this feeling shit about ourselves box is the goal. I believe it is. I think that the whole purpose of keeping the feminine down is so that the feminine doesn't rise to the level that we are actually capable spiritually, physically, emotionally. And in my opinion, as I'm watching myself rise, as I'm watching myself pull myself out of this horrible hole that I didn't even know I was in, I know that I gain a little bit more strength, a little bit more power, but in a positive way, right? And it's a good power. It's a beautiful power. And as my husband said about the house and the home thing, and also he's brilliant at talking about this because he can put this in a way that I never thought of it. Whereas, you know, that women bring beauty to everything when they are allowed to be in their feminine. And that's something a man can't do. A man cannot bring beauty to anything. And And I think that if we were to sit in that a little bit more and have round tables, that's why I was, my idea was, let's do, how do we do round tables? How do we, I saw one of my local, a woman in my local community who is doing the same type of thing where she's coaching. She has a coaching business, I believe. I'm not 100% sure, but she's offering a master class on how it was hot mess to hot success or something like that. And she just, I assume she's going to charge people and then you're going to listen to her talk and she's going to have some plan on how to go from hot mess to hot success. And I want to know, how do we get together and help each other and lift each other up in all the ways that our beauty and our creativity can come out so that we can figure out how to change society in a way that it doesn't have to be about money anymore. It doesn't have to be about, I need to make a living so much that I'm going to go capitalize on all these women's insecurities and make them feel better for 5 minutes and charge them whatever to do it so that I can pay my bills and feel empowered and feel smarter than everyone else. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's true. When we talked, like for me, I think as women, when I'm in groups, I don't enjoy it when there's somebody up at the front doing all the talking and doing yes. like lecturing and telling us the rest of us, because each person that's there has something valuable to contribute as well. Yes. And I feel like you said, that round table concept, or the I enjoy it more when each individual is able to contribute and is heard and is seen. And we've talked about this a lot for the retreats we want to do, because every time I attend in a retreat or a training or one of these master classes or coaching programs, it just feels so generic. It doesn't feel like it's authentic to each person, and I don't feel seen or valued, or it's just like I'm just another number and they're collecting the money for me and they're yes. teaching to me, but there's not like that collective feeling of like connecting with everybody and learning what each person is bringing to the table. And there still has to be some like leadership there. I'm not saying that doesn't need to happen, but there's this component that's always missing for me that makes me feel disappointed.
It's a connection component. Exactly. This first woman that I talked to you about, the Instagram influencer, she's going to send pre-recordings to people, that things that have been pre-recorded every week, right? Like that's not personalized, and that doesn't feel like she's actually making a connection with me. And it's the same way. I agree. I think roundtable is the answer. I think everybody putting all of their things on the table and spreading it around and being like, oh, I really need help with that, or I need help with this, or can you show me how you do that, or where did you come up with this idea? Because I really want to know the background on that. You know, what is your life like? What's it been like? You know? So I think it's, last night, Anowen and I watched the Brooke Shields documentary. I guess it was released last year. It's a 2-part documentary. It's only 2 hours long though. And it's about her life. And yeah, I don't know if you know her story, but like 9, 10 years old, she was in a movie about prostitutes. And she had an interesting life. She had a mom who was an alcoholic, and she just had a really interesting life after her whole life. She didn't come into her realization and her femininity until she was in her 40s and 50s. And it's like, that's where we're at right now. We're here too. And we've made a pile of mistakes and bad choices to get us to where we're at. And all of us have done that. But why does it have to take that long? Why can't we just step into our femininity? Why can't we teach our daughters now? Step into your femininity now. And this is what it looks like. And the only way to do that is to be a good representative, right? And to, you know, surround your children, your women, your females with the influences that support that.
Yeah. There's some movement there. I think there's some change for sure. We're definitely far from where we need to be, but I think people are recognizing it more, and it's talked about more than it used to be. And I mean, there used to be this like you know, all these feminine movements, but it was different, you know, like,
yes,
it's not the same as what, you know, we're talking about. It's, that's a whole different type of energy. And it does, the energy of that doesn't feel as good or empowered. It feels more like abrupt and,
it feels like a resistance. It feels like a resistance. It doesn't feel like an alignment. I agree.
Right. And it was done because of that need that we're talking about, that need for to be recognized as a woman, to be valued as a feminine woman. The need for it to go happen is the same reason that we're talking about now. And it makes sense that it happened, but how it was done was, it didn't come across well. Therefore, I don't think it was that effective. It was definitely in some instances, but then
it got us the things we needed. We needed to vote. So we got the chance to vote. You know, we needed the freedom to be able to burn our bras and not wear bras, you know, that kind of stuff. Sure. It got us one step in the right direction, but I do think that it got, people honed in on it and turned it into something else than what it should have been.
Right. Yeah. It turned into like a negative thing that didn't feel good. Yeah, that didn't have a good feeling about it.
So the reason I wanted to talk about this was because, Amanda, you've been doing something since before COVID that's like a round table. And it occurred to me yesterday that you have already been practicing this. And granted, COVID, you had to take a break, but it sounds to me like you're back up and running with your coffee, that your women's coffee thing that you do. And I want to hear, like, where is it at? And you've had a couple of sessions already. What's going on with it?
Yeah. I mean, the coffee group I started in, I think, 2018, and I had attended some, like, tried to find like social events, like to attend in the community. And every time I went to something, it was just like, it was exactly what we talked about. It was somebody at the talking and we all had to sit and listen. And then there was, and one time I literally, the girl next to me was like, "Oh, those shoes are cute." And I said, "Thanks. I got them wherever I got them at." And that was all we said. And the person at the front was like, "You need to hold your conversation until the end." And we weren't loud or anything. It was super like quiet, you know? And yeah. I was, okay, this is a social thing. This is not a job like place. I'm not at a work meeting. Like, it's a social event. It was casual. It was like at a coffee place. But this person, and I understand, I didn't want to be disrespectful, but at the same time, I was like, this is not the experience that I wanted. So that's what led me to create my own coffee group, because I was like, I don't want to be restricted. My whole point of going out is to meet people, to connect, to have conversations, to like, yeah, just to connect with other women. And so I set it up for every Saturday, and, you know, it started out small and then it grew. And then I kind of stopped doing it, but it was purely casual. It was called Coffee and Conversation. You could talk to whoever you wanted. Sometimes we would go around like the table, like if like a new, like it was all the same people. And then one new person came, then we'd be like, "Should we go around and just say our names?" Like, but it was super like group decisions. Like somebody would just throw it out there and then we'd be like, "Oh, sure. That sounds like a great idea." It was never like me saying, "I started this group and I," like, I never did that. It was all just, "Hey, welcome." You know, like I would introduce myself, but I would usually go to that person directly and introduce, because everybody just knew. It was just like, let's go hang out. Let's have coffee and conversation. And so, yeah, then when COVID happened, one of my friends took over and then it shifted. And now in the group, I haven't been still attending as much, but I did recently start going back. It's amazing. They have game nights. They don't just do the Saturday morning thing. There's dinner nights. Somebody set up a walking at a park. There's, I opened it up to more people like setting up events and just doing whatever they wanted with it. I have a couple of girls that like I put in charge and put them as the leads of the group. And they, interestingly enough, one of the ladies that's doing it, she's one of the first ones that came to my coffee group. And she, her name, well, I don't need to say her name, but it doesn't matter. But anyway, she was really very like you could tell that social skills were like, she wasn't used to putting herself out there. And she also seemed like she just wasn't like in a good place emotionally. Like she was really quiet and always looked kind of sad, and she didn't really talk very much. And she always came and she was super nice. And then now she's one of the leaders of the group, and she smiles. She's excited to like run the group. She's got all this energy. It's totally like changed her, who she is as a person, which is so fun to see. So yeah, it's been really fun to do. Yeah, it's good. It's so, again, it goes back to like, the thing is like, as a person that runs a program or starts a program, you have the responsibility to set up the times and make sure that you're there and, you know, whatever. And then I also paid for this platform so I can post about the events and whatever. And so there's an investment of your time, your energy. There's lots of Saturdays that I'm like, oh, I don't feel like going, or, you know, like the kids are sick or whatever. And like, but I still went because I knew that I was the one that started it. So there is that component though of like, still like you, but I never asked for money. I didn't have anybody pay. Like it was purely just done because I wanted that experience and I wanted people to have that experience. But I do get that there's that financial piece that we do need to have as you grow things, or, and you deserve to be paid for your time and your energy. And so I'm a little bit conflicted on it, but also at the same time, when you're doing something because you love it and you want people to create it, you don't mind doing it. Like you, right. I was never one time I was like, these people should be paying me for this. Like I never felt that way once. And I still feel that way.
Because you're in your masculine when you're doing that. And this isn't about being in your masculine. This is about getting to explore that left side of your brain.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just amazing to see like what's happened with that group. And then, yeah, what I don't know what, I mean, I did open up another group for spiritual women and we've had a couple other meetings, but I haven't really got that one going yet. I don't know what direction I want to go with it, but.
Yeah. I mean, I'm the same with the one person that I've bartered with, that I've switched, you know, exchanged skill sets with. I have, if I were to really think about it, I have spent way more time on her issue than she has spent on my website, but it doesn't matter. That's not what this is about. There's a finished product for both of us and we're helping each other. We're committed to helping each other. And I want to get her in a good place with her family law situation. And then I will know I'm done, right? And then she'll be able to take all that information that she's gathered and share it with her friend, because she doesn't live in the same town as me. And then, you know, and then she can spread, or she can say, I can get you this far based off of my experience, but let me give you Jessica's number and she can help you, you know, moving forward. It's a freaking network. And it's amazing because when you do your coffee thing, every single one of those women has a skill set and a life experience and a story to tell that is going to appeal to someone else that might need her help in some way or another. Oh, and yeah,
made, or the connections that have been made, or there's no price on that.
No, there isn't. And it's, you can, like I'm saying here, this woman is going to be building my website. That's the end product, right? But now I'm going to refer her out to my other friends. Period. And so she can figure out if she needs to take money from them or if they have something to offer her. Do you know what I mean? It's like, this is such a great thing and a movement that's starting up that we've got going. And I want to keep it going. I want to fuel it. I want to add fuel to this fire and make it spread so that people in my own particular community can see how beneficial this is and how we don't need to exchange cash and we don't need to bring in those.
Ultimately, it may bring you more cash. So there's like this balance of like doing some of this stuff for exchange or doing some of this stuff for, but then also recognizing we still need to make money. So we still have to, you know, so, but incorporating some of those components in, because you're right. They do, when you give, it does come back to you in different ways. I mean, I've had so many people from that coffee group tell me, thank you so much. Like this group has totally changed my life, like changed my life completely. Because before they were staying at home, they didn't have any friends. They didn't. And it's like open doors for them and like, you know, like allow them to be a part of society and community. And like, and they're like so grateful to me. And I'm like, all I did was start a coffee group, but.
Right. But I mean, you, it changed your life too. It changed your, your outlook on life as well.
Yeah, totally. So yeah, I think that doing these types of things as women, like meet, you know, exchanging things or not always having that expectation, just doing things because you enjoy them, because you want to do them.
That's the feminine way. Yes.
Yeah. You can't go wrong.
Wrong, but also just the connection, creating a community and connection in a way that is makes people happy, right? And not feeling like you're stressed and competing.
Yeah, that's the payment. Because when I hear those people come to me and tell me my life has totally changed because of this group, that's all I need. Like I'm that's all, because like,
exactly,
like that can't, there's nothing more rewarding than having somebody tell you that.
Well, I mean, you know, and I've said this more than once, I do have a divorce coaching business that I do run, right? But I charge very low amount for the work that I do. And I've had so many clients tell me, you should charge more. And it's like, no, that's not what this is about. This isn't my bread and butter. It's not how I pay the bills. It's how I improve my community. It's how I help people. So I charge a little and I give them a lot. And they are now changing their lives. They're out in the world improving themselves. And that's making them better members of the community.
So true.
And that's what's important. That's what's important.
It is. All right. Well, I think that's a good place to end on.
Yeah, I think it's great. I don't have anything else to say. How about you?
No, I think that's a perfect way to end, because it's just so true. Like the good that you put, good energy and good vibes you put into the world, like, yeah, it'll come back to you, but it doesn't have to even come back to you, because you know it makes you feel good about yourself.
Right. The act of putting it out into the world itself is the reward.
Yeah, I love it. All right. Well, I think that's all for this episode. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again on the next episode. Bye, everybody.
Awesome. Bye.